Hello, konnichiwa, and komasta. Hitomi and Max here with another episode of Where You're From.
Hey.
Hi.
Your favorite history and comedy podcast where we talk about
each other's.
We're going to say it together.
Yeah.
Each other's cultural history. I'm Max.
I'm Hitomi.
I'm British.
I'm Japanese, Filipino, Spanish, Chinese.
That's quite a mouthful. And we're going to talk about history and fun and our dog.
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 32.
Yes. And 32. It's my turn.
Ah. How have you been?
I've been good.
Have you?
Cooking up a storm today.
Holy shit. Yeah. What have you been cooking?
I made potato, broccoli, bacon, onion, garlic dish.
Sounds gross, but actually delicious.
How is that gross?
Spinach, broccoli.
I didn't even say spinach.
Well, I had vegetables. No, but you're a very good cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I made tuna pancakes.
Not our dog.
No.
Who's also named Tuna.
Tuna fish. Our pancakes.
Our dog is named Tuna Yoshi.
Yes.
Not Tuna Fish.
Yes.
But we sometimes call him Tuna Fish.
We call him many different names.
Yeah. The Booner. The Schooner. The Baby Booner.
Baby Boy.
The Baby Boy. I think everybody's dog is called the Baby Boy.
Yeah. Or Baby Girl.
Before you get on to this week's topic.
Yes.
I've got a bit of Japanese news for you. Because Japan is where you're from.
And it's where we live.
It's where we live.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. We compromised and chose Japan.
I know. I don't know why. Are we happy here?
I think so. Yeah. I am.
Yeah. It's all right. It's better than being in England.
Or the Philippines.
Well, that goes without saying. Well, maybe not the Philippine beach, but yeah. It's nice here. I like it. But maybe you won't think that when I tell you this week's Japanese news.
What is it?
I don't know if you heard about this, but the Paralympics is going on.
Yes.
Right now. In Tokyo.
Yes.
You know about that.
Yes.
Because we've been watching a lot of it.
Yes.
Including our favorite new sport.
Goalball.
It's my favorite Paralympic event by far. Goalball. Every time they score, you have to shout, "Go ball!"
I do like the wheelchair rugby, though.
Oh, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was really good.
On a basketball court.
It was smaller. Volleyball court.
Volleyball court, yeah. Where they wheeled into an end zone.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing.
And that's how they score.
That's how they score.
Yeah, the Japan-Australia one was riveting.
A cross between basketball and rugby, wasn't it?
I don't know why you volleyball. Think it's basketball.
And snooker.
There's no basket.
There's no basket, but it's a basketball court.
It's a volleyball court.
Close enough. Well, that's not my big news.
What is your big news?
It's not really big news, but it's interesting news.
Okay.
It's interesting news. It just sums up Japan's response to coronavirus, which has been completely flaccid.
Yeah.
And inept.
Yep.
Yes. Which could be said about me as well. But what I'm talking about is Paralympics. They asked a lot of schools to and school kids to fill out the stadiums.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
And most of the schools said no, because right now the pandemic in Japan is just exploding.
Yeah, and it's affecting more kids now.
I know. Yeah. We're having about 25,000 cases per day on average.
Yeah.
And we got the floppy cock lockdown. The flaccid lockdown.
Yeah. It's where you can do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want, but stay inside if you can.
Yeah.
Nobody can.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to. Everyone's going on holiday all over Japan. But so a lot of schools said no can do. Romeo. I don't know who Romeo is. But a lot of schools did take kids to see the Paralympics.
Like in, different in the events? Last,
yeah, in the last week. And in the last few days, loads of the teachers positive. They've got the corona. And they passed it on to most of the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. It's just, yeah, it's absolutely terrible idea.
Super responsible, yeah. Irresponsible Japan.
Terrible.
And we're teachers.
We're teachers, yeah. And our kids at our schools, well, your kids are already back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I work in a big elementary school with like 300 kids. And they all come back on in a couple of days.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Yes, as we record this.
September 1st,
2021. Not to give away some dates. You know, spoiler.
Yeah.
Date spoiler. Yeah. But they all come back and it's going to be a bloodbath. But what can they? What can you do?
But a lot of schools in our area have been closing or extending their summer vacations.
That is true.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's all of the government, like, rules and what they're trying to do to keep corona down. It's all just suggestions. No one's implementing them strictly.
They have no power.
No.
Because officially, bars and restaurants are meant to close at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Under the current
yeah, and guidelines. Even like shops and
yeah,
non-essential places.
But over 50% of places, restaurants and bars, are open yep. normal hours.
Yep.
Because they get no help from the government.
No.
So they're losing all their business.
A lot of businesses have closed already.
Yep. You can't blame these businesses for doing this.
Yeah.
I can't anyway. Depressing.
It is.
Yeah. But we're vaccinated.
You're fully vaccinated.
Ah.
I have had my first dose.
Un dos. Tres.
Un dos, tres.
Yeah.
And I'm getting my second dose in 2 weeks.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Yeah. And then our immediate family, the in-laws as well.
Yeah. My parents.
We'll all be mega vaccinated.
Both of my parents are fully vaccinated now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and we're just waiting for you.
Yeah, and surprisingly, both my parents, a lot of people have had like negative reactions to the second dose, right?
Yeah.
But both my parents were fine. Like no fever at all, like nothing.
Well, they're immortal, aren't they?
Well, I hope I got like it runs in the genes where I don't get affected as well.
Something running in my genes, all right?
No!
Had a bad dinner. Not really, it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of corona news for you.
Should we make a jingle?
What, corona news jingle?
Corona butts.
Oh my god. He told me he's just got into...
Corona news.
You just started obsessing about battle bots.
Yeah! I know.
You
battle
div.
Bots.
Battle bots.
It's very exciting and frustrating at the same time.
The American version that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Mm.
I want to hate it. We're just cheering for it, aren't we? Yeah. Come on! Get him! Flip him! Flip it!
What are you doing?
Hit him with the hammer! Smash him! Fuck him! Yeah. It's rather violent. Very recommended, BattleBots.
Love it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Another absolute shit series
mm-hmm.
to watch.
Yep.
We do love a good shit series.
We do.
Yes. What else have you been watching recently? With those two ladies that you love.
What two ladies? Oh, the Motel Makeover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Choosing the right colors is a primary concept when you're building your motel.
We only have a $100 budget. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. And then I looked online and looked at their reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've had, like, horrible reviews. A lot, like, on average, they're 4 out of 5 stars on Google.
And how much was it a night to stay in one of their tiny little shitty rooms?
When they first opened last year, it was $420 a night.
$420 a night?
I know, for, like, a double room. Yuck. And then now I looked recently, it's, like, $460.
$460?
Yeah, and then...
It's gone up.
And then minimum of 3 night stay, I think.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, you gotta fork over around $1,300.
What's our hotel?
That's Canadian dollars, though. What if it's...
Does that mean it's more or less?
I think it's less.
Oh.
I think. I'm not sure.
What's a Canadian dollar?
But it's quite similar to... US dollar, I think.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Our hotel nightly budget is more like $100 a night, isn't it? I always fix it at that.
Or even $50 a night. Like a business hotel. We don't spend a lot of time in the hotel when we're traveling.
We don't.
No, because we're traveling.
Traveling.
Mm. How you miss it?
Mystical land of traveling. Yeah, maybe this Christmas. Who knows?
Hopefully.
When we go to Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Or Costa Rico?
Costa Rico?
Costa Rico. This is a new place.
Yeah.
I found. Yeah. New island with dinosaurs. Jurassic Park. I hear...
Oh, what?
That you've got a pretty interesting subject for us this week.
Well, it's close to my heart because it's... true crime.
The boobies?
What?
Close to your heart.
True crime.
True crime.
It's a mystery.
You've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
Is that a real term?
No. I don't know.
You made it up.
I think I made it up, but I'm sure
did you make it up?
Someone must have thought of it. I've never heard anyone use it, but...
Mystery.
It's a mystery. And what does that mean?
A murder history.
No, murder mystery.
Mystery. Of course. Murder mystery.
It's
every
a
white
murder
lady's
mystery.
Dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you ready?
Because you can't find murder mysteries on TV at all, can you?
No.
Like if you go onto Netflix and look for true crime, there's nothing.
No.
No.
They should really up their game with that.
Yeah, so we're kind of pioneers here with a murder mystery.
Yeah.
Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Get that music on the go.
Music.
Boom.
It's true crime week in the Beckwith household.
Why are you whispering?
This week,
yeah,
I am talking about the murder of Charles Walton of Lower Quinton in...
Well, I don't know him.
Yeah.
And I don't know Lower Quinton. Good start.
Warwickshire.
I do know Warwickshire. Which is on, if you don't know, folks,
Warwickshire. Is it close to the Cotswolds?
Not far. Not far, but Warwickshire, England, is just outside Birmingham.
Oh, so it's close to Leicester?
Yeah, Warwickshire is Coventry.
Oh, yeah. I didn't look it up. Sorry.
You can bite there from my mum's house.
My sources this week... Of course, we have Old Reliable.
Yes.
Wikipedia.
Don't trust it.
Darkhistories.com.
Racist.
BBC.co.uk. TrueCrimeLibrary.com and Medium.com.
Was there a large? Yeah. Medium.com.
You know that joke?
What?
A tiny psychic escaped a... prison, and the headlines read small, medium, at large.
killer. Move on.
All right, so it's in Warwickshire.
Yep.
In a village called Lower Quinton.
Okay. Small village.
Small village.
Yeah.
And it was specifically in a place called Meon Hill.
Meon.
M-E-O-N.
Yeah, Meon. Meon Hill.
I'm just reading it like if it was neon.
Yeah. And is this a big hill or a small hill? It's a Meon Hill.
It's a medium.
it's a medium.
It's a hill.
Medium on the hill.
I don't think it's a big hill.
Okay.
Yeah. So this true crime event is also called the Pitchfork Murder or Witchcraft Murder.
Sound like it's straight out of American horror story.
What year do you think this happened?
I'm going to say 1911.
No. 1945.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Year zero.
Is it 1946 year zero?
I can't remember. That was a long time ago. That's a previous podcast episode, folks.
Yeah.
Year zero, Japan. Yes, 1946, but yours is 1945.
Yeah, 1945. But you like, it's kind of confusing because when you hear this story without any context of what year it is, you'd think it was in the 1800s.
Right.
Yeah.
They are right. a little bit backwards in that area.
Are they?
Commentary. Yeah. They got
eyes. Are you saying that just because you don't like Coventry?
I'm saying that because they're one of our main football rivals. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We hate Coventry.
Okay. So let me talk about the area, the specific area, Meon Hill, because it's relevant to the story. Like a little bit of some legends surrounding that area.
Are we talking real legends, like people?
No. Like, you know, folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, myths and legends.
So, do like a good myth.
One of them is Satan.
He lived there.
Satan was there. And wow. He kicked a boulder down a hill to destroy the newly built Evesham Abbey.
Ooh.
But the locals used the power of prayer to thwart the devil's plan.
Ah. But he kicked a boulder.
He kicked a boulder down the hill.
So he's kicked it.
Yeah.
Down, and it's rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
And then the locals, while it's rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
They all get together.
Yeah.
And they all pray.
Yeah.
That's a slow moving boulder.
The devil.
Yeah.
And then instead, the
devil's in the details.
Oh, are you proud of that? Okay.
I know.
Instead, the boulder fell on Cleve Hill, which is outside of Cheltenham.
What the hell is happening with this boulder? It's rolling down the hill.
It's rolling down the hill in Lower Quinton. And
took
then
a sharp left
towards Cleve Hill, which is outside of Cheltenham.
Yep.
Cheltenham.
You know what Cheltenham is famous for now?
Horse racing.
Yeah. Cheltenham Horse Race Festival. Mm.
Then the locals carved the boulder into a cross.
What?
In order to get rid of the devil's evil touch.
Ah.
Yeah.
Was it an erotic touch?
Evil.
Evil touch. I always think of the devil, Satan, as a quite a sexy fella.
Well, yeah, he's done a lot of women.
What? Care to expand on that?
Rosemary's Baby.
Oh yeah, great movie. Mm. Love that movie.
And so, but there's another version that says it was a big mound of earth, and that the Bishop of Worcester.
Say it again.
Worcester.
Worcester.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Bishop of Worcester saw what Satan was trying to do, and he cast out the evil one, and that mound of earth actually became Meon Hill itself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so that could go two ways. A hill could be, like, really blessed and good, or it could be very satanic, evil.
I think it went on the to the towards evil.
Well, I was guessing that, seeing as this is a murder mystery.
Mystery. And there are also other legends of phantom hounds that roam the hills at night and are known for their scary red eyes.
Are we talking werewolves?
No, just hounds, just dogs. Oh. And those dogs are connected to the Celtic King Arwen, the Lord of Departed Spirits. And his myth is that he rides around Meon Hill on his pale horse, hunting for souls, accompanied by a pack of red-eye hounds.
Sounds very Lord of the Rings.
Because of Arwen.
Arwen. Yeah. And the red-eyed dog thing, if you take a picture of a dog at night, don't they have red eyes?
Yeah, not always like at night, but yeah.
Maybe not with current iPhones.
No, it's a flash that makes it red. I used to take a lot of pictures of my dogs with like regular cameras before, and yeah, they'd turn out with red eyes.
And in 1945, yeah, maybe they didn't have the technology.
No. No filters.
But I've got to jump in with something. 1945.
Yeah.
The area of Warwickshire, especially Coventry, had been, because obviously that was the end of the war, Second World War.
Yeah.
And Coventry had been bombed,
decimated,
to smithereens.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah, that's why in this area, of Lower Quinton, the RSA, the Royal Society of Arts, had their like office in Coventry or something, or somewhere in London, I don't know, but somewhere some big city was moved to Lower Quinton.
Okay.
Because their area was not bombed. Yeah.
Do you know about Coventry Cathedral?
No.
That was obliterated in there. It's kind of still a little bit there, but yeah.
Did they rebuild
it? There's a big story about it. I can't remember.
Maybe I'll next episode. Is it interesting?
Probably.
Yeah. All right. So those are the legends surrounding Meon Hill.
Okay.
Okay. So on to the Mystery.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Charles Walton was murdered on Valentine's Day.
Murdered?
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Ah, what a shit Valentine's Day.
1945.
Ah, bollocks. So he survived the war.
Just to be murdered.
Victory.
Yeah.
Murdered.
Yeah.
Bollocks.
And it was a grisly murder.
By the hounds.
Well, we don't know. Because it's a mystery.
Uh-oh.
So he had lived all his life in Lower, one of them changed it to Quentin.
Oh.
Quentin.
Tarantino.
And had worked as a farm laborer. So he was around, there were two ages that I saw, 74 and 75, so around that age. So he was doing odd jobs here and there.
Okay.
Yeah, as a farmhand. And then he lived in a rented cottage with his niece, Edie, who was the daughter of his late sister. And Edie has lived with him since she was only 3 years old. So he was kind of like Edie's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And then he kept mostly to himself and was considered a loner. He had a pretty good reputation around the area as a reliable farmhand. Like, he did good work, I guess, despite having to walk with a walking stick. So he's got arthritis.
Okay.
Mm.
But he's an honest old boy.
Yeah.
He's a good chap.
Yeah. And he was a noted horse trainer when he was younger.
Okay.
Mm. So nobody, like, he wasn't disliked.
No.
In the community. But he was considered unusual.
Ah, suspicious.
Yeah,
fellow.
Yeah. Crazy old Maurice.
Suspicious chap.
What movie is that from?
Crazy old Maurice. Harry Potter.
No. Beauty and the Beast.
Ah. No interest.
Yeah. And according to Edie, his niece.
Yeah.
He was friendly with everyone, but no one ever visited him at the house. He didn't go out in the evenings and very seldom went into the public house. Pubs.
Into the pub? Yep.
He was always happy and content with his life.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Sounds like he had a good life.
Yeah, good boy.
Yeah.
He was just happy milking the cows.
He didn't do animal work, I think. It was more like maintaining the land.
Is that
it's more like a gardener.
Farm hand means.
I guess you can do a lot of things on the farm.
Because I imagine farm hand as his hand around a cow's teat. Doing the milking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a farmhand.
Well, having said that he was considered unusual, people have reported strange happenings around Charles, and they mostly involve animals.
Oh, no.
So some examples.
Oh, no.
It's not what you think.
Okay, good.
So some of the examples. Birds would constantly flock to his hand. Like, he's like a Disney princess. Birds would fly to him.
Well, I'm going to just spoiler this whole thing and say straight away, he's Satan.
Nah.
No?
No.
I didn't solve the mystery.
No. No.
Enid is Satan.
He was murdered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then people...
By the birds.
Maybe. People said also that he could tame any wild dog with just his voice.
Dog whisperer.
Yeah. He was Caesar Milan.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the townspeople suspected him of practicing witchcraft because of his strange knowledge and abilities.
Ooh.
A lot of the articles I read about him said, like, he knew of the old ways.
The old ways.
Yeah, that's what they said. He knew of the old ways.
So he was quiet and friendly, and they were like, witch.
Yeah.
Witchcraft, black magic.
Yeah.
Get him.
No, they didn't get him. He didn't hurt anyone.
Pitchforks.
On the day of his murder...
Yeah, well, they did get him. Because he was murdered.
I guess.
Yeah.
So he had been trimming hedges on hill ground, which is located at the bottom of Meon Hill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Otherwise known as Satan Rock.
Satan's boulder.
Satan's bull bag.
This was on a Mr. Alfred Potter's property.
Any relation? To Harry?
No, I don't think so.
No, Alfred Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter.
And Charles had worked for him for several?
Severus Snape.
Snape.
It's a snake, isn't it?
No, his last name is Snape.
Well, he's a bit of a snake.
He was, but... But yeah, he had worked for... Charles had worked for Mr. Potter... For several, can't say it, several years now.
Yeah.
And then on that day, he was finishing up like the last bits of the field that had to be tended to. So he had with him his pitchfork and a bill hook or a trouncing hook. Or a slash hook, as some sources called it.
Well, the first two that you said, the bill hook, what was number two?
Trouncing hook.
They sound like something real.
Yeah.
Or useful.
Yeah.
But then the third one.
Slash hook.
Sounds like a murder weapon. straight up murder weapon, isn't it?
Well, think of like it's like a big like knife with like a hook at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like to cut.
Yeah, so straight out of Halloween or Freddy.
And also he had his walking stick.
Which you can bash someone with.
Mm.
Ooh, am I onto something? Yeah.
He was seen by a witness passing through the churchyard, which was located across his house. Between 9 a.m. and 9:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm writing this down in my little notebook.
Yeah, like...
Detective.
Yeah. You be okay. The detective.
Okay.
Now, Edie was working at the Royal Society of Arts the whole day and came home to an empty house at 6 p.m.
Edie?
Edie, the niece.
But isn't she like 13?
No, she's already... She's been living... Sorry, I didn't mention it. She's been living with Uncle Charles since she was 3.
Ah.
But she's like 20-something now.
She's a lady.
Mm.
My yeah. image of Edie changes.
Yes. So she's a woman.
A voluptuous lady. Okay. Yeah.
So she got home at 6 p.m. and there was no one there.
Mm.
And this was very concerning because Charles was meant to be done... by done work by 4 p.m. Right?
Yeah.
And as we know, he wasn't really the going out type.
But he decided to pop down the pub.
I don't know. He didn't.
He didn't. No.
And Edie also mentioned... Oh, he couldn't because Edie also mentioned that he had left his purse at home.
Ooh.
When he went to work. So he didn't have any monies.
Which would rather be known as a murse. Murder mystery. Murse. Man purse. I can't imagine this farmhand old boy having a purse. Can we call it a wallet?
A wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright. Men's is men's.
So Edie, very concerned, went to their neighbor's house, Harry Beasley.
Beautiful British name.
To ask if he knew where her uncle was.
Yeah.
Harry did not. But he agreed to accompany Edie to the place where Charles was supposed to be working at all day.
Yeah.
So, Meon Hill.
Yeah.
They both went to the property owner's house first, Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter.
And Alfred said that the last time he saw Charles was around noon. Mm. And he saw Charles working on the hedges at Hill Ground.
Okay.
So that was the last, he said, according to him, was the last time he saw Charles. So off they went to Charles's last known location and saw something horrible and gruesome.
I've got an image of our good old boy.
Yeah.
Skinned.
Oh, you think he's skinned?
I think he's skinned and he's hanging up. Dripping.
Oh, you're so gory.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
It's not as bad as that.
Little finger cut off.
But it's like a, you know, trigger warning alert. This is going to be a little bit gory.
Okay.
So be prepared.
Love it.
Okay. So the search team of Edie, Harry, and Alfred found Charles's body near a hedge close to where he was last seen. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to start describing now how they found him.
At the bottom of the hill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Charles was pinned to the ground by his own pitchfork with the prongs passing through each side of his neck.
Okay, not too bad.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
The pitchfork had been wedged under the hedge. To keep it from moving.
Yeah.
And upon closer investigation, they found that Charles had been beaten on his head by the walking stick.
Ah.
Yeah, they used the walking stick.
Well, we have our suspicions already, don't we?
Yeah. And his throat was slashed 3 times.
By a walking stick.
By his hook. Remember the hook?
Well, it's a...
The bill hook?
Close the case. It's done, isn't it?
But who did it?
The other guy.
Who?
What's his name?
Who?
The
owner?
The helper. The owner?
The owner?
The guy who had the hook.
Charles.
Charles.
Had the hook. It was his tools.
I thought there was another guy.
No, it was just Charles working alone by himself.
My story
Where
of
did
characters.
You get the other guy?
Well, there's another guy in my head.
Why?
There's Bill?
Bill Hook? Bill, the Hook?
Bill Hook. The Hook.
No!
No?
No, it was just Charles working on the hedge.
Ah.
Okay?
For some reason, I thought he had an assistant.
Bill Hook.
Bill Hook. I'm going mental.
But okay, so his throat was slashed 3 times.
Yeah.
By his own hook thing, and the hook was still in his throat.
Yeah.
When they found him.
Yeah.
But he
still had his skin.
He was not skinned.
He wasn't skinned.
No. And there were rumors that a cross had been cut into his chest.
Mm.
But that's not true.
Mm. Mm. I had a rumor.
But I think they pushed that, and that really pushed the witchcraft theory.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. But if you ask anybody in Lower Quinton now,
yeah,
they'll still say that Charles Walton was murdered because of his involvement with witchcraft.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, please do.
There were several cuts on his arms, which the police indicated was a sign of Charles trying to defend himself from the attacker.
Sign of being an emo, depressed person. Yeah.
And they said that there was a look of sheer terror on his face. Yeah.
Can I give a little verdict right now?
Yeah. Who do you think did it?
A sheep.
A sheep?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Those sheep are very suspicious.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did they slash his throat?
With the hoofs.
How did they hold the hoof?
The hook.
But the hook was in his throat.
And one of them kicked the hook. No, I'll tell you who my suspicion is.
Mm.
Edie.
You think Edie did it?
I think Edie is the mastermind.
Why?
Because I can't remember any of the other characters' names. My memory is terrible.
There's Edie, there's Harry, and then there's Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter. No, yeah. I think Edie is our suspect right now. Yeah.
No.
Let's play along.
Okay.
Edie is...
All right. So the look of sheer terror on his face, and his shirt was wide open... And his trousers had been unbuttoned.
Oh, ooh la la.
But police say that he might just have been relieving himself when he was attacked.
Yeah, I was thinking. Mm. He was taking a piss.
Mm.
Relieving himself.
But that doesn't explain his open shirt.
Well, you do like to get a bit amorous when you're taking a piss in a field. No, but some people do get like fully undressed when they take a piss.
But it was February. It was cold.
Refreshing. Yeah. Very strange. Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And now the way they found his body convinced people that he was targeted because of witchcraft. Because in 1875, at nearby Long Compton. Do you know it?
Is that like...
Straight out of Compton,
yeah. Well,
it's a place. It said it was nearby.
Yeah.
So a man killed an old woman. So in 1875, a man, John Haywood, killed an old woman, Anne Tennant, that he thought, John Haywood thought that Anne Tennant had bewitched him.
Mm-mm.
So John Haywood killed Anne Tennant with a pitchfork. Same way, pinned to the ground.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
and then
you bewitched me.
Are you going to kill me?
Should I have?
It's too late now.
Oh. I still might.
Okay.
Yeah. Bewitching is bad.
Mm.
The TV series is pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do the nose. The nose. All right. The killer, John Haywood, said that he swore to kill all of the 16 witches of Long Compton. Because there were 16 witches.
All right, okay.
Yeah, and then that method of the pitchfork was influenced by old Anglo-Saxon method of spiking witches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the mental witch times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was later on discovered that John Haywood's victim, Anne Tennant, could have been related to Charles Walton.
Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun.
The plot thickens.
They said there was a possibility that she could have been his great great-grandmother or great-grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So I have my new suspicion.
Yeah, yeah.
Satanic possession.
Someone possessed somebody. Somebody got possessed and killed him?
Yeah, I think the family. Well, it started with the guy. May have started way before.
Mm.
But we know it started with the guy that did the pitchfork killings.
Yeah, in John Haywood.
The, what,
1875. Mm.
And then the next documented case was his great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter. Possessed.
Yeah.
Possession.
Yeah.
Paranormal activity. You've seen the movie. Very similar.
Mm. So it's all in the family.
Yeah. You can't escape.
Well, because of the nature of the crime, local police immediately requested the help of the Metropolitan Police, or more famously known as...
The Met?
Scotland Yard.
Them too. Metropolitan Police?
Yeah, that's what I read. And so the deputy chief constable of Warwickshire sent a message on February 15 stating, I'm going to read it, "The chief constable has asked me to get the assistance of Scotland Yard to assist in a brutal case of murder that took place yesterday. The deceased is a man named Charles Walton, age 75, and he was killed with an instrument known as a slash hook. The murder was either committed by a madman or one of the Italian prisoners who are in a camp nearby. The assistance of an Italian interpreter would be necessary. I think, Dr. Webster states deceased was killed between 1 and 2 p.m. yesterday. A metal watch is missing from the body. It is being circulated."
Okay. Interesting.
So there's another set of suspects now.
Yeah, the Italians.
Yeah.
Where did they come from?
There was a prisoner of war camp in Lower Quinton or somewhere nearby.
Was it big?
Big-ish. Yeah.
Okay, so now the Italians are suspects, even though they've been locked up.
But they're not always locked up.
Oh, they go for a walk.
They had the freedom to go about town and do stuff.
Oh, nice for them.
Yeah, and then they just had to be back in time for curfew or something.
Kind of like Harvey Weinstein's.
Weinstein?
Weinstein's prison sentence. Go about your business, mate. Yeah. Just be back here later. Back for tea.
But the problem was, well, I'll read about it later. Don't worry. It's part of it. So on February 16, 2 days after the murder, Chief Inspector Robert Fabian, and his partner Detective Sergeant Albert Webb arrived in Lower Quinton.
Right.
And also helping the investigation is Detective Sergeant Saunders of Special Branch, because he was a fluent Italian speaker.
So this is like the British equivalent of like the FBI coming down.
Yes. Scotland Yard.
Yeah. Mm. It's like the FBI coming down. This is my case now.
Yeah. Well, they asked for his help.
Oh.
Remember I read that whole letter that they wrote?
Yeah. I know. I know this, but I'm just saying it's like the FBI in there.
Now, Chief Inspector Robert Fabian is another reason why this case is famous. Because Robert Fabian became an inspiration for a TV series called Fabian of the Yard. Have you heard of it?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, Fabian of the Yard. And he is famously known as one of the first police heroes on TV.
When was this series?
I did not look.
Fabian of the Yard. I'm going to say 80s.
Well, he was... he became like the chief top dog of Scotland Yard, I think, 1949.
Yeah.
So, but he was still alive, I think, when the series came out.
Okay.
Let's see. 1954.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, 1954.
Okay.
Mm.
So one of the first detective series, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, on TV.
He must have been really good to make a series about him.
Oh, I thought you meant the actor.
No. Chief Inspector Fabian heard a lot of stories about the area, but one story in particular stood out. So it was the experience of a plowboy.
Plowboy?
P-L-O-U-G-H boy?
Mm-hmm.
A boy.
I know a few plowboys.
It was the experience of a boy.
Yep.
From Alveston. In 1885, okay? Yes.
1885.
For 9 consecutive nights, this young boy encountered a black dog on Meon Hill.
Ooh.
Remember the legends?
Yeah, red eyes.
Mm. On the last night of the dog sightings, the black dog turned into a headless woman who walked past him in a black dress.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next day, the boy's sister died.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the kicker?
Yeah.
You know what the boy's name was?
Harry Potter?
Charles Walton, the murder victim.
No.
And I did the math. In 1885... Charles Walton, our murder victim, would have been around 14 years old.
Really?
Mm.
This is really spooky, isn't it? I'm a little bit scared. I'll be honest with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is kind of running in the family sort of thing.
Kinda, yeah. It's
very paranormal activity.
Yeah. They could make a story, like a movie about this. And then another detective, Spooner.
Spooner.
He was the main advocate for the witchcraft theory after he stumbled upon the book, The Witches of Shakespeareland. And that book contained the story about the pitchfork murder and the boy and the black dog, Charles Walton.
Okay.
Yeah, and even he was really into it, Detective Spooner. Even when the other detectives gave up on the case, Detective Spooner kept coming back every year to see if he could find any new evidence or leads that would help solve the case.
Mm.
Even after he was retired,
yeah,
he would go back once a year.
Obsessed.
Yeah. And then there was this woman witchcraft expert who told the police officers that this death was not surprising at all. She said that February was always the sacrificial month and that this murder was just another druidical sacrifice. Yeah.
Sounds like an ice cream. Druidical.
And then after all the rumors had spread, all the black dog and the Ann Tennant murder, the previous pitchfork murder, the villagers refused to talk to Fabian or the other London detectives.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Yeah, so they've got something to hide.
Pubs would empty each time they would come in.
Ooh. Yeah, sounds like a bit of a cover-up job.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yeah, they're hiding something.
Now, do you know who Fabian's main suspect was?
Enid.
Edie,
her as well. Yeah.
No, his main suspect was always Alfred Potter, the owner of the property.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And there are a bunch of reasons why.
Yeah.
So, police constable Lomazny was asked to stay close to the Potters to see if they would slip up and reveal some details about the murder.
Yeah, watch those Potters.
Yeah. And then the other theory was, of course, the Italian prisoners.
Yeah.
Yeah, hence the need for an Italian interpreter.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a little bit about that. So these prisoners were apparently able to roam the area at will and just have to be back in time, you know.
Yeah.
But there were no records made of these activities, like in and out. They didn't have to sign in and sign out.
No, they could do what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the afternoon of Charles's murder, some of the prisoners had gone into Stratford to see a play while others went to the cinema.
Oh.
But it looks like it was just like they were just blaming it.
Yeah.
And you know who suggested that it could have been a prisoner, an Italian prisoner of war?
The pub landlord.
Alfred Potter.
Yeah.
Alfred Potter said, what was that line? I had a line here.
What did he say?
Potter suggested to the police that the murder was the work of a fascist from the camp.
Oh my god. It's terrible.
Yeah.
What did Fable say? Pull the other Fabian. One, mate. Fable.
Fable.
Fabian.
Fable.
Yeah. I'm so bad with names.
So Detective Fabian really suspected Alfred Potter all the way through. So Alfred Potter was questioned many times, and it seemed that his account of the events kept changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've got no evidence.
One of the local policemen mentioned after the week of the murder, he mentioned casually to Mr. Potter that they were still hoping to take fingerprints from the murder weapon.
Yeah, why haven't they?
I don't know. I'm doing a shrug.
Yeah.
And Mr. Potter quickly said that he had already touched the handles of the murder weapons at an attempt to check if Charles was really dead. And then he said he did this because the other guy, because there were three of them who found his body, right? Edie,
yeah.
Their neighbor Harry, and Alfred.
Yeah.
Right? So Alfred said that because Harry told me to check the murder weapons to see if he's really dead.
Oh my god.
And then Harry later denied, I didn't say that.
But you did, mate. You did say that. And I touched it. Because you said it. That's my story. And it changes every week.
So of course that was bullshit.
Yeah.
And also me, like, I saw there are pictures of the crime scene.
Oh god.
I know. I saw it and I was like, no. I only saw like the back from the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so obvious. There was a pitchfork sticking out of his neck. Yeah.
Gruesome.
So it was clear that Charles Walton was dead, dead.
Dead, dead.
And Beasley, Harry, not Harry Potter, but Harry Beasley was sure that Alfred Potter realized Walton was dead from the moment they found the body. Yeah.
But there's no proof.
So.
So we think that Harry and the villagers are all dabbling in a little black
magic.
Magic. The black arts. As it were.
It's just a horrible way to murder someone. Okay. So later on, so, you know, Harry Potter. Alfred Potter.
Ron Weasley, yeah.
Alfred Potter suggested to the police, right, that it was the work of a fascist from the camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a short time later after he said that, a serviceman came to the door and asked for Alfred. And when Alfred talked to him, the serviceman said that that soldier has just told me that the military police at the camp have caught an Italian coming out with a suit of clothes and detained him and sent for the civil police who came dashing out. They have taken him away with them.
Yeah.
So the serviceman told Potter that they might have found the killer.
The suspect.
Yeah. Italian prisoner. And then at this, Potter affected great glee and his wife became almost hysterical with delight.
A bit too happy with stuff.
Yeah.
So we reckon now, obviously, that the police are kind of the local police might be in on the old trick.
That's why it's a mercenary.
Yeah, they're supporting Harry and the villagers.
Mm.
They're all in it together. Yeah.
And then the first officer who arrived at the scene was Police Constable Michael Lomazny. Remember, I mentioned him earlier, he was ordered by Fabian to stay close to the Potters.
Yeah.
To see if they slip up or something.
Yeah, he's not in on it.
No, he's a good boy.
Yeah.
So his comment about Alfred Potter on the night of the murder, he was shivering and complained of being cold. Looking back, I think that Potter appeared more worried than one would have expected him to be. Mm. His complaint of feeling cold I considered a strange excuse from one who was used to attending to animals at all hours and in all kinds of weather, especially as the murdered man was his own employee and had been murdered on his own land. So it's like, he's acting too worried.
Yeah, so he was obviously, he'd been possessed.
He's still doing the devil thing.
Well, you don't think that this is all down to the hill?
Well, let me tell you what, another thing.
The Satan boulder.
Satan rock.
Yeah.
Satan pebble?
No, it's got to be a boulder.
But there was also the fact that Alfred Potter apparently owed wages to Charles Walton.
So it could have just been a simple... simple murder.
Yeah, and made it look like a witchcraft murder.
Ah.
And that Potter...
Yeah?
...was actually cooking the books.
Ah.
So he doesn't own the property. His dad's company owns the property. So he's basically he's managing the farmland property for his father.
Yeah.
So under like Potter LLC or something, like company.
Okay.
Yeah. And rumor had it that he would claim more work was done so he could receive more money from the head office to pay quote unquote workers, but he would pocket the extra money for himself. So he'd say, like, Charles Walton worked 20 hours this week, but he only worked 10. So he would pocket the difference.
Yeah, yeah. Edie worked 60 hours today. I want the money.
Dodgy.
Dodgy dealings. But this does not explain all the witchcraftery bollocks going on.
I guess. But maybe Alfred... Well, we'll talk about that at the end.
All right.
So, Alfred, very suspicious man.
Yep.
But there wasn't any physical evidence linking him to the crime. It was all circumstantial.
I think I've already said that.
Yes.
No evidence.
Many times.
Yeah.
After Alfred Potter died later on...
Yeah.
Fabian revealed that he 100% suspects Alfred Potter to have killed Charles Walton.
Well, we all suspect it.
Yeah.
Where's the bloody evidence?
But it still remains an unsolved crime up to this day.
Unsolved mysteries.
Yes. Unsolved mysteries. And the effect of this sensational crime on the little village of Lower Quinton was not a really good one.
No, I can imagine it wasn't. No.
If you ask local villagers, after the case made nationwide news, the village began to be pestered by wackadoos.
Wackadoodles.
Or a bunch of them occultists, psychic researchers, writers, the morbidly curious, and others.
Yeah, they're trying to find the headless black woman. The headless woman in black.
Yes.
Yes.
With a red-eyed dog.
Yeah.
And mediums would visit every Valentine's Day when all the locals wanted was to live their lives quietly.
I'm sure they did because they were in on it, weren't they?
Apparently, like, if you ask, there was one article I read, like, recently they visited the place and then no one would talk about it. Like, they were trying to look for people who would know about it.
Yeah.
Like older people, but zip. No.
No. Because they were all in on it.
Yeah. And then a good example of how the people of Lower Quinton hated how they are seen by the country like as like a, you know, witchcraft area.
Yeah.
Is that in the
hotbed
of witchcraft?
Yeah.
Is that in the churchyard there is no gravestone belonging to Charles Walton. There's no gravestone. And somebody said, there was like a, some user online said, like, this, there's no gravestone because it was destroyed by a relative who became upset by the media visiting his grave on the anniversary of his murder each year. So every Valentine's Day, there were like a whole flock of media people.
Yeah.
So they just destroyed it.
But there still is a lot of people that come down.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I'm sure. I'm sure, like, if... Is there, like, a ghost hunter episode in the UK?
Yeah.
So I'm sure they've been there, Meon Hill.
More than likely, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that is the murder mystery of Charles Walton.
What do you think happened?
I think it was Potter.
You just think straight up Potter?
Alfred Potter, and I bet he knew about all the legends surrounding Meon Hill, so he made it look like a witch, like, yeah, like a sacrifice.
Yeah.
He made it look like that. Because, yeah, his story changed quite a bit, and one of his alibis was that he, after he had lunch at his house, which his wife said, yeah, he had lunch here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she supported his alibi. So after lunch, he went to his one of his employees to hang out. His name was Happy Bachelor, I think.
What? What name?
It's a nickname, Happy, and his last name was Bachelor.
Right.
Yeah. And then after all of this happened, you know, all the investigations and stuff, him, Bachelor, and another guy quit. Alfred Potter.
Okay.
Yeah, so they quit working for Alfred Potter, and people thought that maybe because they knew the truth and didn't want to die, like Charles.
Get out of there, guys.
Mm.
You could be right. I mean, that's sensible.
But you don't like sensible.
I don't like sensible. I think it was full on. Possession, witchcraft, and
you think it was Edie?
No, I don't. I think maybe Charles did do it, but he was forced to do it.
Charles is the big murder victim.
Not Charles.
Alfred.
Alfred. That's who I'm trying to talk about. Alfred. I think he did do it, and he was forced to do it by satanic forces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think you'd be that kind of person.
I am that kind of person. Because you said there was, you know, the way back there was a guy that did it in the
1875.
1800.
Yeah.
All that. And then there was the headless woman, and there's the dogs, and oh my goodness.
They all thought that Charles was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you scared?
I don't like any of that sort of thing. It just creeps me the hell out. Yeah, I can't watch Blair Witch. I don't like it, Paranormal Activity or that.
Hmm.
No. I want to believe that... Well, you go back to the whole, you know, Satan himself rolled that boulder.
Yeah, to get rid of an abbey.
Yeah, didn't like the abbey.
No.
Crushed the abbey.
Yeah, but...
Didn't.
He did not succeed.
No, because the wind took the boulder.
The sharp left. Prayer winds.
Yeah. Took the boulder sharp left, and it became Meon.
I want to go there.
I'm not going there.
Why?
Because I'll probably end up killing you. I'll be possessed.
We'll probably respect the village people.
Yes.
The villagers.
Yes. This tale, I'll tell you what it reminds me of.
Mm?
The movie With Nail and I.
Why?
Because they're out in the middle of nowhere on farmland. And I can imagine the same sort of thing. There's an angry farmer. Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah.
Do check it out if you haven't seen that movie. One of my favorites ever. With Nail and I.
You know who else likes With Nail and I?
Charles?
Will Arnett.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I'm listening to their podcast, yeah. Smart List, with Jason Bateman,
yeah.
Sean...
Bean.
No.
Sean Patton. Sean.
Just Jack from Will and Locke. Grace.
Sean. Yeah, Jack from Will and yeah. Grace, yeah.
And Will Arnett.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were talking about favorite movies. So Will Arnett said that his is With Nail and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their podcast is obviously not as professional as ours.
No.
Or as entertaining as ours.
They do have guests.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to be a guest on our podcast...
Sean Hayes.
Call in. Sean Hayes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Just Jack.
Just Jack.
Yeah.
Ah.
Did you like this story?
I like the story. It was good mastery.
Mm.
Good mastery.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've appealed to all the white ladies out there who love true crime.
I've not heard anyone cover this. Of all the true crime story podcasts I listen to,
yeah.
I've not heard anybody cover this.
But they've all been covered.
This one, I didn't hear any. Didn't hear anyone. Maybe another podcast I haven't listened to, but the ones I've listened to, I don't think they've covered Charles Walton.
No, I've never heard of this before.
Mm.
And it's quite a spooky
tale. It's good, right?
Yeah, it was really spooky. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
No.
Because I can imagine the hill. I can see it. And the farm.
Post a picture of the hill on our Instagram.
Of course you will. Which is?
WYF History Podcast.
Nah, enjoyed it, love. It was a good one. Very interesting stuff. Yeah, we'll post up some pictures and facts and the hill. And this is, you're showing me the hill on your phone, and it's exactly I pictured it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a British rolling hill.
Mm.
Doesn't look like a boulder, though.
Well, the other story was that... Well, you remember the boulder ended up at Cheltenham? Yeah. So, the hill was the other story about the bishop.
Mm.
Yeah, which was a mound of earth.
And the vicar.
Yeah.
Ah. Okay. Should we cut it?
Let's cut it.
That was a nice one, love. Mm. I'm truly freaked out. Won't be able to sleep tonight. Thank you very much. When I go for... one of my many pee-pee
late
journeys
night pee-pees.
In the night, I'll see this headless woman.
I'm gonna grab
I'll definitely see a dog.
I'm gonna buy a pitchfork. Yeah, but not a black dog.
Well, we've got a white dog. He's got red eyes. Good lord. All right, look forward to next week, part two.
Of?
The KKK in the Philippines.
Yes.
Not the KKK you're thinking of.
No.
Different.
But so listen to that episode first.
Part one was last week, so
yeah.
Catch up.
Episode 31.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, let's cut it.
Let's cut it.
See you next week.
Bye.
Later.